Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
And the truth that is rooted within me.
I am welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. Today is Memorial Day celebration 135. And we'd like to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, please call in. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. And remember, we're now partnered with Impact Player Music Nation Radio. And so you can listen to our show on two different radio stations, Blog Talk Radio and Impact Player Radio. And beginning next Monday, October 17th, we will move an hour back. We're going to be at a new time from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And so we're also looking at starting to play some of our repeat programs, some of our chosen ones, and we're going to replay them on Saturdays and Sundays, so we'll actually be on 7 days a week. Weekends won't be for call-in because they will be recorded shows, but we're excited about at least being out there 7 days a week. So starting next Monday, we're moving back an hour. And Michael just told me it's going to be 10 o'clock at night on Saturday and Sunday. So welcome, Michael.
Delighted. Another awesome day here in the Ozarks. And all systems moving forward. We're glad you're here. Memorial Day, what's that about? Why are we doing Memorial Day? Wasn't yesterday Columbus Day? Well, our Memorial Day process, what we're looking to do is to honor those who have been murdered, who've been forced to murder, who've been maimed and injured, and all the crazy stuff that goes with war, brought it home and left those injuries with those at home. And our request is that you be willing to look at one issue in your life today and each day where you have some form of hostility or fear, where something less than love shows up in your body, and where you're willing to take responsibility for that rather than pretending and going into the conversation and telling your brain to show you that it's all about everybody else, where you're willing to be responsible and go, I've been through this 87 different times with 42 different people. Maybe there's something here for me to learn. And we invite you to learn that, and we invite you to work through whatever it is. So if you're not familiar with how to do that and what we're talking about with the conversation about forgiveness, what we invite you to do is to please go to the website, www.whyagain.com, and on the right-hand side you'll see a link that says Download Worksheet. If you would, just click on that link, and the first four items under that link will tell you the whole story of exactly how forgiveness works from the ancient Aramaic. And it's not the story about letting other people off the hook. It's how you change what's happening inside of you. So that's our Memorial Day invitation. And Jeannie, do we have any callers? Dr. Tim with us? David with us? Anything in the chat room?
Tim is with us. David is not. And the chat room, there's a few people in there, but nobody's asking questions. So hello, Dr. Tim.
Hello, hello. We're having another beautiful day here in Illinois as well, right in the middle of a whole series of sessions, individual sessions, trying to help people use these tools productively in their lives, and getting ready for another Mind Shifters group tonight in Crystal Lake, Illinois.
Awesome.
Did you hear anything from Carrie from Cary, Illinois yet about this week?
Actually, I spoke with Carrie the other day. You know, she's getting ready to travel to England, and we had a conversation the other day, and so she's rocking on. She's going to take her videos with her and show them while she's over there and maybe get a support group started in England. So that would be pretty cool to see that happen. So everything just rolling along here, moving forward. How about in your world? Anything exciting? Anything on your mind today? Dr. Tim.
Well, there's been a lot. I'm thinking mostly about the kinds of things we were talking about yesterday and trying to prepare for presenting the Why Again workshop on Sunday in Crystal Lake at the Unity Church there. And I think one of the biggest things is when you start to talk about a concept that's so radically different from the way people have been raised, you meet a lot of resistance. I meet a lot of resistance. I know I've seen you meet resistance from people in the seminars. And the thought is, how to ask people not to believe what we're saying, how to get the point across that we're not looking for followers, we're looking for people who will question how their life actually works, and then be open to learning something new that might actually be better. And so things are bubbling around. I'm trying to finalize how I'll be opening the talk on. I'll do the talk at the Unity Church on Sunday, and then do the Why Again workshop after a potluck. So,
cool. Well, you might want to jump on the website and take a look if you haven't watched it recently. Take a look at the video Coin of the Realm. That might be worth giving a look, and that might give you some jump off places for presenting on Sunday.
Well, that's a good one. There was also one you did. I told you I thought it was one of your best summaries. It's only an audio, though. I think maybe you did that in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been...
Not sure.
You used the turn of the phrase, and you talked about how the bomb was dropped because of the misinterpretation of one of the general's words.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it was only about a 20-minute talk, but it really, really impressed me to be a very good summary of the work you do, a very good intro to the work you do in the workshop. So,
mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think we might have done that one out in Las Vegas area. I'm not sure, but that's one that's on the website.
It was. I haven't listened to it in a while. I listened to it several times. I put it in the blog. Sent you an email saying I thought it was one of the best summaries. That's such a powerful story, and you seemed to really be on that day when you were pulling those pieces together. So
I'll have to go listen to it and see what I said. Hear what I said.
Yeah. Yeah, and so
cool.
I like the idea of I was listening to Guy Finley on the way in, and he was at the beginning of one of his talks and saying very much the same thing that you say in yours. Don't believe what I'm saying. Please don't believe it. That makes it dead. That makes it useless. That makes you out of the moment. Pick these tools up and try them for yourself. And he has the story about the exobiologists that are out looking for an animal that has never been seen, but they've seen the signs of it and they've heard of it. And the one gentleman is out there for the first time, and they hear this very unusual call. And his guide says, "That's the animal we're looking for." And he said, "You know, will I ever be able to see it?" And the first biologist says, "Well, nothing that you hear can't be seen eventually." And so the guy then goes on to say, "Nothing I talk to you about in these workshops can't be seen by you eventually if you're willing to just apply yourself, willing to question the old beliefs and pick up the tools and try it." So that's what we're about, trying to get people to break the old patterns and try something new and more productive to bring more life, creativity, and joy and love into their lives, and catch themselves whenever they're experiencing any kind of hostility or fear, and pick up the tool of responsibility and apply it.
Yes, sir. Without belief. And I actually just opened an envelope, but we just got the mail here. And open an envelope, and there is The Secret, The Search, The Sacred from Guy Finley, The Journey to Greatness Within. And this is the person that Dr. Tim refers to often. Jamie and I met with him a couple of months ago when we were out west. And so I opened the book, and as I opened the book, the first quote my eyes fell upon was this one. It's from Sri Aurobindo in Calcutta, India. He says, "A quarrel of religious sects are like the disputing of pots, which alone shall be allowed to hold the immortalizing nectar. Let them dispute, but the thing for us to get is the nectar, whatever pot, and attain eternity." Well, I think that's a pretty good starting point, and fits right in with the let's forget about this, you know, belief system. There's nothing here to believe. There's just some work to do. Anybody who's promoting a belief, believe, is not in tune with or in touch with what the work is. It's not about a belief system. It's about being in touch with who we are and functioning out of who we are. So that's what we're here to do, and we are delighted to be sharing it with everybody that is on the show and involved in the work, and we're blessed. We're blessed by that opportunity. Jeannie, any callers? Anything in the chat room to know about?
No, Nene sent me the information, so I will get it on the website for her workshop that she's doing on October 23rd. So I'll get that out there on the website for her. But other than that, nobody's saying anything. If you happen to be on the switchboard, press 1 if you want to talk to Michael, and I'll put you in queue. Our calling number is 646-200-4169.
Awesome. You know, the whole idea of belief is made pretty irrelevant once you've had the experience. And if you look to the teachings of the man named Yeshua, he wasn't there to fill us with a belief system. He was there to give us a direct experience of who we are as human beings. And when we're not functioning as human beings, we find ourselves locked out of our own lives. And that's where that, without the active presence of a human life, without the being plugged into the source that we're designed to be plugged into, then the mind functions in a way that it produces all kinds of crazy things: substance abuse, mental difficulties, emotional difficulties, poor health, criminality. And, you know, it starts to look like that's normal for a human. And I'd offer that's normal for a non-human, but it is not normal for a human being. If we've actually had the experience of a human life, that is the awesome presence of who we are as humans, that stuff's not normal at all. And when one has a proper power supply, you know, it's like any energetic appliance, it's got to be plugged into its power supply to work. So if one is plugged in, then an abundant life is natural, a joyful life is natural, useful service is natural, and darkness and despair just don't enter into the game. But if one has been void or gotten involved in something that's just a belief, then all sorts of things become relevant and arguable and important and urgent, and, you know, who's going to win this argument? That mean nothing. There's actually a theoretical physicist named Brian Greene, and he has a quote that just really fits with this whole thought. And what he says is this: some discoveries provide answers to questions. Other discoveries are so deep that they cast questions in a whole new light, showing that previous mysteries were misperceived through a lack of knowledge. This is a physicist. This is awesome. You could spend a lifetime wondering what happens when you reach the Earth's edge. But when you learn that the Earth is round, you see that the previous mysteries are not solved. Instead, they are rendered irrelevant. Most of what human beings have been taught, oh, you have to believe, you got to be a believer, you got to be a believer. No, you got to be a doer of the work. And once you become a doer of that work, then what happens is you function as a human being. And a lot of what somebody told you you had to believe becomes pretty irrelevant. It's just, it's no longer part of the game. And this law of love is the kind of discovery that Green speaks of. All the things that the religions are arguing about, there's an awesome poster we have down in the Heart Center with symbols for all of the different world religions. And the basic premise on the poster is there will be peace in the world when there is peace among the world's religions. And everybody's arguing about something because they haven't had an experience. They haven't used the tools. They've bought into somebody's beliefs. And so this law of love, when you actually have a direct experience of a human life, what takes place is something else happens. And all the stuff that was important yesterday becomes a waste of time. When we think we know what it means to believe this and how this works and how that happens, and let go of that insanity, it just dissipates and disappears once one has experienced this mindset that comes from being plugged into a proper human power supply. And so we're here to support you in not spending your lifetime trying to figure things out, not spending your lifetime loving your neighbor, not spending your lifetime loving yourself, not spending your lifetime loving God, but rather coming to direct experience of your human beingness, which is love, and then in the presence of God, neighbor, and self, you maintain your human life in presence of the person that yesterday you believed was the problem in your life. All of a sudden, all your beliefs about everybody else being the problem in your life just fall apart. They're rendered irrelevant, just like Green speaks about, you know, if you spend your lifetime searching for the edge of the earth, searching, and you walk, you know, you might remember the movie, The Gods Must Be Crazy. Once you walk to the edge of the earth and you go, there's no edge here, it's round, what you were doing is irrelevant, and most of what humans are wasting their time, intelligence, money, and energy on are irrelevant. I should say non-humans, because when one does not have the active presence of love, they don't have a human life. So here we are. The tools with which to loosen the grip that the mindsets based in hostility and fear have on us so that we can have a direct experience. You know, I remember, Jeannie, and maybe you'd share with people the first time that we met and introduced you to the forgiveness process and some of the tools, and we did a breath session. And you had an experience, although you'd been going to church for all your life, you had an experience. Would you be willing to share that with everybody?
I suppose. yeah, it was really phenomenal because it was the first time that I had physically felt the love of God and felt like I was worthy of it.
Did we just lose you?
No, that's all.
That's all you have to say about it? Okay, cool.
So once we have that direct connection, that direct experience, it changes everything. And sometimes when we've had that direct experience, the old carbon-based memory can kick back in and try to convince us of its story and its stuff again, but it can never quite so sincerely ever fool us again. Any sign of David yet?
Yeah, he's on.
Good afternoon, David. How do you be, sir? Hello, David.
Hello.
There you are.
Hello, hello.
I can hear you now.
Good, good. How are things going for you? I've just now gotten on, so I don't know what you guys have been talking about. Hello?
Things are well here. We're just tapping into the next level of understanding of why the tools, and that is to go to the direct experience of a human life. And we were talking about how that renders many things irrelevant. I just read a quote of Brian Greene, who's a theoretical physicist. Did you hear that quote? Did you hear that quote, David?
For some reason, he has vanished off the switchboard, so maybe he'll call right back in.
Oh. Okay, he must have
been. But no, I think he had just came in right before you asked, was he on? So he probably didn't hear it. As soon as I see him come back on the switchboard, I'll turn him back on.
Okay.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes, you're on there, Kim.
Well, my thought is that that's a fabulous quote. It's exactly the kind of thing we're talking about here, that when you are willing to give up what you have been taught to believe, then you don't know anything new, but you open yourself up to the possibility of learning. But if I go into a situation knowing that the most important thing for me to do is talk to people about what should we do when we reach the end of the earth, and we're holding extensive conversations, we're writing books about it, we're spending many hours on this, we might be even getting into fistfights of it because my way is better than yours. And when we go and find out that there is no end to the earth, then that entire expenditure of energy and all of its processes were irrelevant. But I must first be willing to let go of the idea that there is an end of the earth in order to even be convinced that the world is round. Otherwise, I can be living on a round planet and still spend all of my time arguing with people about what the best thing is we should do when we reach the edge of the earth. So it's a leap of faith. People, you know, for years in the psychology field, we were taught that the only time people go get help is when they're in so much pain that they can't stand it anymore. And that's true for a certain percentage of the population. Our hope is people don't wait until they've reached rock bottom, that they'll be willing to say, wait a minute, if I'm not living in joy and aliveness and love and creativity, anything less than that is less than my heritage. I want to go reclaim my heritage. I want to learn how to be more loving and more creative in every moment. I want to pick up the tool of responsibility and apply it to myself every time I'm feeling anything less than love. And just like the example we gave yesterday when I was talking with somebody and he wanted to spend a big chunk of time talking about his partner and how angry she was. And I interrupted him and I said, well, the only thing that's really relevant for us today is what gets stirred up in you when you're interacting with your partner and you're aware that she's very angry. and he wanted me to believe that what he was feeling was compassion for her. Well, that's a conclusion he was holding on to, and he believed he was feeling compassion for her. And it took him a while for him to open up his thought to the possibility that the tense, uncomfortable, tight feeling he had in his jaw and his facial expression when he was thinking of his partner and saying he was feeling compassion for her, that may not be the physical expression of compassion. It took him a while with me questioning him and trying to be the mirror for him of what his face looked like before he actually opened up his thought to the idea that, oh, maybe I'm not feeling compassion for her. Maybe I'm frustrated. Maybe I'm afraid. Maybe I'm angry at her in response to her anger. And we all need to do that. We all need to be in a place where we are willing to question whenever we have any form of hostility or fear, is this all I can create for myself in this moment? Is it possible for me to create a different experience for myself in this moment? So that's my thought.
Well, fortunately, with the use of the tools, it is not only possible, but it is absolutely inevitable. And that's what we want to do, is tap into that inevitability. And when you look at, I'm kind of, as you've been talking, I've been kind of thumbing through Guy's new book, and I'm actually looking. Do you know offhand what the website is for the new book? Because he's got this really awesome thing that he's doing. He's calling it a living book. It's called The Seeker, The Search, The Sacred, Guy Finley. And it's a live online book that you can go to, and you can add your own quotes. So there are quotes from all of the wisdom traditions, and what he's looking to do is to bring us to awareness of what these traditions are saying. And there's one quote in here I just ran across. It's by a guy named Dr. Michael Rice. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, "Seeker, the search, the sacred is a giant leap for mankind, definitely more important than the footprint left on the moon. With this monumental undertaking, Guy has reminded each of us that we are love, and that all the religions agree at their root that this is the truth of us all." And it is the truth of us all. Just hold a newborn child and you know exactly the truth of a human life, and you're it. Whether you remember it or not, whether you're experiencing it or not, you know, and it's an interesting thing to recognize the way that this body's mind, which is nothing but a replicate mind, the way this body's mind plays out whatever's structured into it. We watched an interesting film the other night, pretty tragic, pretty powerful. It's called The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. And there's this young boy and this young girl, and they don't really know much about what their dad does, but it ends up that he's the commandant at a gas chamber in Germany during World War II. And you see this young boy who's 8, and I think the girl's 11 or 12, and they're both very innocent, very playful. They're still in their beingness. And they bring a tutor in. And this tutor, of course, is very much the party line, the Nazi party line. And it shows very powerfully how this young girl, who starts out very clearly as very innocent, all of a sudden is right there calling those that don't agree with the party line the enemy and vermin, and just buying into the whole speech system. And you watch her countenance change from that of this innocent, beautiful young girl to the viciousness of a mind filled with the party line. And wherever we find a party line, and I don't care if it's a church party line or a business party, wherever we find one that's based in hostility or fear, we see people deteriorate from their human beingness. We see them with all the wonderful words about love,
But if the party line's based in fear, what they do is they instill fear in people. Their words, their conversation, their turnabouts that they do, when this, especially when the stress is up and the chips are down, destroy those around them. And we're looking to change that dynamic, not through belief, not by saying, oh, buy another. Like, don't believe a word I've got to say. Don't believe a word that Tim Hayes has got to say, or that David Hayes, or Jeannie Rice. You know, don't believe a word any of those people say. But take the tools, put the pen to the paper, and watch how your life changes. Watch how the stress goes down. Watch how the change occurs. And what happens is you will learn directly from the source. You will tap into your inner tutor, your intuition, which incidentally Einstein said 90% of his work was intuition, 10% was intellect. We all have exactly the same genius, and it's time for us to unfold that genius as our experience. So that's what we're here to support you in. Have we found David again?
No, he's not back on. But the link is also on our website. If you go to whyagain.com and click on links, it's the first one on our website. But to go directly to it, it's onejourney.net. So it's onejourney.net. And like I said, you can also go to whyagain.com, click on links, and it's listed on there too.
Fabulous. Cool book. Some awesome quotes in it.
I just stumbled across one on that website, Michael.
Go for it.
Confucius said, in the archer, there is a resemblance to the mature person. When he misses the bullseye, he turns and seeks the reason for his failure in himself.
How rare an occurrence in our world today, eh?
Yep.
I
love knowing that my system has a warning device in it that lets me know whenever I've missed the bullseye, and that's any form of hostility or fear.
Isn't that an awesome piece of knowledge?
That is life-changing.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, maybe we'll contact Guy now that the book is out, and maybe he'll come on the show and share a little more about it with us. The book is The Seeker, The Search, The Sacred, Journey to the Greatness Within by Guy Finley, F-I-N-L-E-Y. And he's looking to make it. Oh, I just found it. It is on the back cover of the website. So tap into onejourney.net and put your quotes in. You might even find some quotes from Michael Rice that you want to tap in there with. But if you want to look at what he's doing, tap into onejourney.net. And we'll contact him and see if he'll come and play with us on a show for a while.
That would be wonderful. Yeah, I just got my copy of the book a couple days ago, and I have yet to crack it open because, as I said, I was finishing this other book, The Galilean Secret, which was a novel that was written when a man was inspired by visiting the site of the Twin Towers in New York. And he got the message that in order to make sure we don't have more terror and more destruction and more violence in the world, we need to get back to the message of people who understand that love is our true nature and love is the only thing that heals.
Absolutely. And that when we were given the directive, love your neighbor, and I remember back probably a year or so ago, I heard some guy talking about this guy, Yeshua, and making fun of someone who would be idiotic enough to tell you to love your neighbor with all those rotten people out there. And sadly, the understanding of what was said in the Aramaic has been totally watered down and lost by the Greek. translation. So that the watered down idea has you thinking and has you directed thinking that loving your neighbors about them. And that law of love has nothing whatsoever to do with anybody but you. In Aramaic, it directs you inward to maintaining a condition in your mind that maintains your sadness, pardon me, that maintains your sanity and keeps you out of the sadness, the fear, the grief, the hatred, the vengeance, the crazy things that go on. So it's a way to inoculate ourselves against our own insanity. And with that condition active and present, if life comes along and stimulates something that's less than love, then the active presence of that condition in your mind allows the dissolution of what never belonged. So this inward condition guarantees your sanity and well-being. This law is about holding a condition in your mind, which is one of the guardrails on this, you know, the highway to reason, this thing that we call reason. And the world kind of worships reason as the key, and reason is one of the worst tools there is when it comes to living a life based in truth. Because whatever the mindset is, remember last week we talked about the book that was on the CIA website, and they were talking about mindsets. So a mindset limits available information. So if you have a certain mindset, you have limited information available, and with limited information, you know, you can reason that anything, you know, in Germany in World War II, it was reasonable to kill people for, you know, and in these places where love is not the mindset, when somebody's in there raging and their hostility and their, you know, when love is not the mindset, all kinds of crazy things seem logical, seem sensible. Like threatening a newborn or a young child that's just growing out of its newborn state, starting to understand language, threatening it with eternal damnation comes from a mindset of fear, where the mindset of rachma, which is the Aramaic word that was used for love, is not understood and not practiced. The experience of that mindset of love allows information based in truth to become available, and one could never think of threatening that child from that space of connectedness. So in Aramaic, it's interesting, if you look at the Beatitudes, the word that's used repeatedly that the Greeks translated as blessed are they in Aramaic actually speaks about having an active mindset available. And the mindset is that which gives you an access, not limiting available information, but putting you in touch with an access point where truth is continuously available. Because a mindset of hostility and fear, and somebody can logically think that murder is the name of the game. I was actually listening to a YouTube video of one of the political candidates who was talking about partial birth abortion, how insane that was. But in the same breath, he was able to talk about, well, you know, the difference is the guilty party and the innocent party. So the partial birth abortion is an innocent party, and that's evil. But you know, if you've got somebody who's committed a crime and the judge said they need to die, then killing them is good. It's like, no, this is coming from a place of reason. Reason is a lousy tool if the mindset isn't there to support it. That's why you'll see all kinds of atrocities being committed by people who say they believe. You know, I believe in the teachings of this man, and let me see. He said to go kill those that you disagreed with. Kill those that had offended you, right? That's what the man said. And you look at how many people, and that's how they function. They think that's logical because they were outer-directed rather than understanding the Aramaic inner-directedness. The man did not say kill those who hate you and abuse those who despitefully use you. The man said, love those who hate you and do good to those who despitefully use you. Why? In what universe does that make sense? Well, first of all, you're protected. You have a condition in your mind which keeps you sane. And guess what? Because on a physics level, the vibration of that condition is the higher state. It will tend to penetrate and melt those hardnesses in the minds around us. And you go back and you listen to the reason why divorce was allowed. What did they say? Divorce was allowed because of the hardness of their hearts. If one can hold the active presence of love, that hardness of the heart begins to dissolve. And, of course, the first heart that begins to dissolve its hardness is your own.
Michael?
And we inoculate the intellect against the insanity and the foolish thought processes that allow us to think that it's logical to abuse, threaten, destroy in the name of love. Yes, Jeannie, you've got
something for us. We have a caller.
Awesome.
We have a caller. Area code 928, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Hi, this is a Journey calling.
Hi, Journey.
Hi there, Journey. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Awesome.
For those who haven't met Journey, Journey is an attendee at Heartland right now. He's been with us for almost 2 weeks. Actually, we're getting ready to take him to the airport tomorrow. He's a young man who lives in Lansing, Michigan, and just made the journey. The Journey made the journey here to spend a couple of weeks doing worksheets and reducing his stress. Have you found that the worksheets have reduced your stress, Journey?
I don't know. It seems like for each issue, the stress is reduced as I do the worksheet. I don't know if I've noticed that overall level of stress decreased. Maybe I have.
Cool. Well, do you have a question or a thought for us?
I just called to say hi. I heard you had a radio show, so I was just calling to say hi.
Cool. I'm glad you did.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, delighted that you're with us.
Yeah, me too. It's been really nice to stay here. We've had some good times, and food has been very good. And I've enjoyed my stay here. It's been nice.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad I didn't challenge you or anything like that at any point in your time here.
Yeah, well. Thanks a lot for letting me stay here.
All right. Delighted, Journey, and we'll see you in a little while. We're getting ready to do some skill point breathing after the show.
Yep.
All right, cool. Thank you for the call. Any other callers, Jean, here? Anything happening in the chat room for us to be aware of?
No, and David hasn't come back on, so he must have gone through an area where he lost signal or something. I don't know, but he has not called back in.
Okay. Well, he's been handling a lot of stuff there, and it could be something came up that he needed to go and take care of, too. So we'll just hold the space for him.
Is he headed back anytime soon?
He's actually on the cusp of making a choice about what that's going to look like. He's kind of torn between his commitments here and the work he's been doing at Heartland and his desire to support the healing process with the family and the community there. So we're on the cusp of that choice.
Well, I hold that it will be the perfect choice for all involved. I know it's not an easy one with the mortal mind, but it'll all be perfect.
Yes. So this idea of rachma, of that directive of love being a guardrail, it is a mindset that prevents the insanity that can prove anything from within its errant framework. And the signal that hostility or fear gives us when it comes up in the mind is that the mind is using corrupt data to build its output, to build its pictures, to build its realities. And, of course, it's a process that's invisible. When we do that, our insanity is invisible and perfect to us. It's like, you know, it's kind of like our creation. And with our creations, gee, it's hard to see that there could possibly be anything wrong with them or out of place with them. And so to start to look at the idea that hostility and fear is a signal that your mind is using corrupt data. And an easy way to document that for yourself is to just ask yourself the question, has anybody ever accused you of saying something you've never said, of doing something you never did? And, of course, everybody kind of laughs and, I've had that happen. And how many times have you had it happen? Oh, about an infinite number of times. Now, if you've had that happen to you, think back over the times that it's happened. Think of a few, significant times where you've been accused of saying something you never said, of doing something you never did. And notice the mindset of the person who was accusing you. And what was it? I guarantee you it was hostility or fear. Every time. Absolutely guaranteed. Hostility or fear causes the mind to build realities that are hallucinations. And most of our culture is in an hallucination virtually continuously. And what happens, what this directive that said love the creator, neighbor, and self was an internal condition. In Aramaic, the word rachma, which is the word that was used, they didn't use the word love your neighbor, like, go over and brush your neighbor on the head and say how nice they are. The word was rachma. It's a condition. It's an internal process that creates this inoculation against insanity. A mind connected to rachma can't go into hostility or fear, can't be in an hallucination. So to recognize that if you're physiology is producing hostility or fear, it's a very simple thing. It is not a directive for behavior. It is a signal that your mind is using corrupt data. And, if you think of the times when you've been accused of those things that you've never done and recognize the state of mind of the people who were doing it and or recognize the times that you've done that, notice when you accuse someone and they said, what are you talking about? Notice that you're in some form of hostility or fear. So this law of love means living a conscious, connected life. And it's the only power supply, again, the word in Aramaic was rachma, it's the only power supply that fuels the human mind so that it functions properly. And it's a prerequisite to sanity and happiness. Nothing external in life needs to change one bit in order to produce sanity. It comes from internal conditions. It does not come from what's happening around you. People said, oh, that drove me crazy, that made me angry, that made me sad, they made me afraid, they made me this. That's all a fraud. That's all telling yourself a lie. And you'll notice if you've been through some of those internal conditions called hostility or fear, 87 different times with 42 different people, you're the only one that was there every time. And I've never had anybody who, when they were accused, said, oh, yeah, the person who accused me was in this awesome, loving, connected space. It was wonderful. Just didn't happen. It's not what takes place. So this condition, this keeping love in the mind, is about keeping us plugged into a proper power supply. It's got nothing to do with religion. It's got nothing to do with anything other than that. It's just, here's how you produce sanity. Here's the internal condition that causes one to live a human life. Here's the gateway for your original human life to come into expression in your physiology. Now, the weak mind says, well, that sounds like we're heading into a religious conversation, and I don't want to hear anything about religion. It's like, no, nothing to do with it. This is the way life works, that's all. And, of course, if you call living in truth religious, then so be it. But without the gifts that come from this internal condition, just look around and you see what the result is. The result is it's a tough game to play, tough world to live in when you're in hostility and fear. So I think Jeannie's got a caller for us, so let's welcome our caller.
We do. It's area code 828. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hi, this is Magda.
Hi, Magda.
Hello, young lady. How are you?
Just fabulous. Really, really, really wonderful. And
well, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm calling for two reasons. As you know, I am getting ready to move to be neighbors with you. Chuck and I are very busy.
Going to be our newest neighbor moving into the Heartland area, just a little bit down the road from us.
Yeah.
Monty was here with us, and Chuck were here with us for two intensives this summer and decided that this was going to become their home base.
Yes, absolutely. We've been to more intensives than just these last two, but, it's been something on our mind for quite a while, and this summer clinched it for us. So we are delighted about that, and of course, you may know that moving can be very stressful. So I'm very happy to report that because I've been doing my worksheets, my reality management sheets, I am dealing with the stress, and I'm actually sleeping at night instead of worrying, which is my habit.
Getting some deep rest, eh?
Yeah, deep rest. Yes, a lot of processing going on in my dreams, but very, very deep rest. I do a worksheet with Derek every morning, and then I do a worksheet with Chuck, and then I do one worksheet just before I go to sleep to make sure I stay asleep. And it's been working beautifully because all of the fears, anxieties and worry that come up about, will I get everything done? Will I have enough time? And all of that, as it comes up, I just go to do the worksheet and work it out and come back to a space of love and peacefulness. And so I thank you again, Michael, for your incredible, incredible tools. I've been doing a lot of breathing, too. And so beyond my gratitude for your tools, I do want to ask a question, and that is on the number 7 in the worksheet where it says, I acknowledge us for creating truth, perfect love, and then forming, structuring a new goal. I would like the explanation once again for perfect love. Because I had it for a moment, and obviously this is one that I must be resisting, because I would like that again, please.
Cool. Well, have you been on the whole show, Magda?
No, I tuned in about quarter after.
Okay. Well, that was probably where we were talking about Rachma, about this condition in the mind that was the word that was used when it said you must have love for God, for neighbor, and for self. In Aramaic, it said Rachma. And Rachma is a filter in the frontal lobes of the brain. You might look into your Laws of Living book, and remember we did a revised diagram of the filters. Or you can jump on the website. It's there under worksheets. I think I did send that to you, and Jeannie, didn't I? And is it on the website?
Yes, it is.
Cool.
It's under worksheets,
so,
and then scroll down to getting the stress.
Right, okay.
So, and for anybody else that wants to look at this this filters diagram, on the right-hand side of the homepage on whyagain.com, there's a link that says download worksheets. Scroll down until you get to getting the stress you need, and you'll see a diagram link, and you can download that diagram. And so Rachma is a filter in the frontal lobes of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And in the frontal lobes of the brain, our intentions are stored. We have three different qualities of intentions. One of them is negative, one of them is destructive, the other is loving. Rachma is the condition, the filter in the frontal lobe that limits available information to only those intentions that are loving.
Oh, yeah.
It also appears to be a gateway for human life to enter human physiology. That's the first half of perfect love, is that condition of Rachma. Then you go to that diagram in the back of the brain and you see Kuba, another Aramaic word. That in the back of the brain, perception is stored. And what they understood in the Aramaic culture was that there were also three filters there. There was hostility, there was fear, and there was love.
Mm-hmm.
And that depending which filter was set, the mind would output a totally different quality of reality. So if fear was set, the mind could only generate a reality about that which was threatening. If hostility was set, the mind could only generate a reality about something irritating. And we kind of honor that when in our culture we say, you know, stay away from Charlie today. You know, he got out of bed on the wrong side this morning. What we're saying is his hostility filter set, and he's irritated about anything and everybody that he sees. Then, in Aramaic, there was a third filter over perception that was called Kuba. Kuba is a mindset that limits available perceptual data to that which is keyed to love. So now, in Aramaic, Rachma and Kuba become perfect love.
Uh-huh.
And what they say about perfect love is perfect love casts out fear. Your mind can't produce a fear-based reality. You go to bed with Rachma and Kuba set, you sleep like a baby because the mind isn't generating all these scary things. Oh, do I get it done? Can I get it done? Is there a thing? Do I have everything I need? Oh, did I forget, you know, to make that phone call 10 years ago? You know, whatever.
Right.
It generates. So there's perfect love.
Ah, thank you. And now it all floods back to me now that I've had this review. Thank you. Perfect love. The filters are where it's at. Ah, okay. Great. Your teaching, Michael, is so clear and so simple, but so different from that which we are used to, that which I'm used to, that it's very easy for my carbon-based memory to take over and push aside those new understandings. So thank you.
Well, being a school teacher, could you imagine if you'd have been able to give this to your school kids right from day one when they came into school and were understanding? You understand why Julie, for those who don't know Julie Haverstick, maybe she's on the phone, maybe she could call in if she's on the show, but Julie's a school teacher who 22, 23 years ago started to work with these tools, took them into the school, the inner city school system in Dayton, Ohio, and with the last couple of years that she was teaching, she was in a school where they would have three inner-city kindergartens and three grade one classes. So she taught either kindergarten or grade one. And the last several years, she got all the learning disabled and all the behavior disordered kids. And in frustration, she kind of finally went to her principal and said, you know, why am I getting all the, you know, we got two other classrooms. Why don't you put some of these kids, spread them around? And the principal said to her, because when they come out of your classroom, they're not learning disabled or behavior disordered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Imagine if we just put that, installed that in every school system in the country. Hey, you have a human life. It's called love. We honor who you are as a human being.
Right. But we would have to teach a lot of teachers first. And we can do that. That can happen. So, yeah, it would be marvelous. And I look forward to the day when that is happening.
Let's go for it. I join you in it. Maybe you and Julie, once you get here, maybe you and Julie can work with the local school system and get something whipped up that starts to give it.
I think that's a very good idea.
Perfect with the local school right here in town because they've got kindergarten to grade 12 in one building. It could create a curriculum for the whole process. That would be fabulous.
That's a great idea, Michael. Thank you. Of course, it'll be a while before we get unpacked and settled in. That's okay. That's a good
thing. I know you've got some work to do in your awesome house, and we look forward to having you as our neighbor. And Chuck's going to be here this weekend. We'll look forward to seeing him. And we're down to just a few seconds left, so we're going to close the show out with the invitation to bring a stranger with you tomorrow and to have the best year yet of your eternal life. We hold you in the blessing. Thanks for the call, Monda. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.